Father, come. Come, Holy Spirit, teach us about culture today. Teach us to wake up and open our eyes to our surroundings. Teach us, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit and let the power of God flow through us. Father, come. Come and show us your way, O Lord, that we might live according to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Judges, the introduction literally today, and the series is going to be called Repeated Patterns. And the title of today's message is The Influence of Culture. And if you don't think that's important today, you are in a bubble somewhere. A people who is influenced by God or culture. Which is it? You see, oh, I'm influenced by God, aren't I here? We're all influenced by the culture of today. And we're going to learn from Israel's mistakes. And 1 Corinthians 10 says, learn from Israel. There is written for our admonitions and warnings. Oh, by the way, hello, Justice and Eunice. Welcome back. it's written for our admonitions. So we're supposed to learn from Israel's mistakes so we don't make them ourselves. Let me say it again. We're supposed to learn from Israel's mistakes so we don't make them ourselves. A wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. A fool is supposed to learn from his own eventually. So we learn from their mistakes, we'll be good. The setting of the book is a sequel to Joshua in a sense. The book of Joshua is a book of victory. The book of Judges is a book of defeat. And what happened after Joshua is after Joshua died, then the moral decline happened, the spiritual decay happened of a nation because they stopped adhering to the Word of God. And similar to us, when we adhere to the flesh, the devil, the world, or Western idolatry. Remember that Bible study, the five idols of the West? None of you? Yeah. I'm looking for audience participation. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, well, if you haven't remembered it, you might want to listen to it. I spoke at a church and spoke that same message, and it sold more CDs than the pastor that had been there for 20 years ever sold in one day. So God is speaking to that message to the Western church. And he said, in his humility, he goes, wow, you sold more CDs than I ever have in one day. And praise God and for his humility and all that. But see, we don't believe we worship idols. We don't have any things carved, but we do. We have our idols are materialism. Our idols are entertainment. Our idols are comfort, security, self-love, self-esteem, my feelings. I've gotten more than one of you mad at me when I said it doesn't matter what you feel, it matters what God says. I know that's a rough thing to say, and I need to figure out a better way to say it, but your feelings do not supersede the Word of God. You need to look to the Word of God to cut through those emotions like a knife so that you can know the truth that will set you free. But so often we're not looking to the Word of God. We're looking to our feeling. It's a problem within the Western church today. Because we don't know the Word. We don't look to the Word. We look to how we feel. And we need to turn from that because that's a maturity. We're going to go on to the milk of the Word, not the feelings of my soul. We need to go on to God. What do you say about this? God, what is my reaction to this? Well, you know, all these idols of the West can be brought up into one idol, the idol of self, the idol of self-love, selfishness even. Look in the mirror, there's your idol. We have good intentions, but we're influenced by the culture around us, the idols of popular culture. But you know, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. See, nations that go the way of sin go the way of decay and they go away. Or they go into oblivion. Peter Marshall said, if you're not ruled by God, we'll be ruled by tyrants. And that's the way that the nation of Israel is going. And we need to learn from it. It's the way Britain is going. It's the way America is going. It's the way the West is going. Ruled by popular culture. And today is a tragic sequel to the book of Joshua, a book of victory. And the key verse, and whenever you study a book, you want to get the key verse. And the key verse is, each man did what was right in his own eyes. And boy, that is today. That's the church today. That's the world today. And the book of Judges is relevant for today. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. In the church today, we have no godly leadership, no accountability, not adhering to the word. That's God's church today. It's in sick and wounded, sore, sick, wounded and sore. It's pathetic in a sense. We're weak and we need to find the strength of God and we need to turn to Him. We're going to look in the book of Judges. It's about the folly of forsaking God. You see, man follows every inclination of his heart, but the heart is deceitful and wicked. And that's why we need to bring the Word of God into us, the truth that will set us free. Your sin doesn't set you free. The truth does. Not living according to your way, that's not what sets you free. You think you're free, but you're not. The truth will set you free, and living according to God brings the blessings of righteousness that we need to live to, that inspires us and motivates us. But see, will we believe God at His Word? That's a big question for the church today. Will we believe God at His Word? Will we read God's Word in context? It's a big word for many people. Most prophecies I've heard from the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement are out of context of the Old Testament and not a promise for the Christian. Most, they call it prophecy. Well, God doesn't prophesy out of context. And so here we are in this place where we're at. We need the Word of God. We need to cling to it. Will we or we? This is the question for this generation. And every generation, will we cling to the Word of God? You know, God is patient. God is faithful. And He's faithful to His covenant. But He'll chasten and correct His children. And He'll also withdraw His power and correction if you want to live in contrary to Him. So, Repeated Patterns is the name of the series. Influence of Culture is the name of the sermon. And really, this is what it's all about. They were influenced by the culture around us. And that's the relevant part of this for us today. We're influenced by the culture around us. So are your children. And if you don't know how you are influenced, you better do some meditation. Of course, you probably don't have time because you're probably too busy for God. Or too busy in your life. So you don't have time for God. You don't have time to meditate, which is a command. Read and meditate on the Word. He told Joshua, if you want to find success, but we don't have time. We're too busy for God. You see, so we need to make some corrections in our life. So we don't think the world's affecting us. We don't think culture's affecting us. But see, we don't have time to meditate and according to His Word and let that Word cut like a knife to our heart. Well, we're going to look at three things. Failure to obey completely, influenced, and decay. Slide 2. Failure to obey completely. Now, I've evaluated the church and the people in it and my own teaching, and I'm going to change my teaching style a little bit. This particular way I'm going to teach is the book of Judges in a survey form, and we won't be touching on every verse. I'm going to touch on what I want you to go away and remember. If you read the whole thing, I'm finding you're not going to, I want you to go away with something. And so we're going to just focus the key verses in the book of Judges and elaborate on the whole context of it. So, let's look at failure to obey completely. You know, total obedience is the path to freedom and victory. But our flesh says contrary, doesn't it? Well, you know, I just want to do what I want to do. And that's freedom. That's fun. That's what's good. But it's not the way to victory, not the way to success that God has said, I want to bless you in obedience. So, chapter 1, here's basically what chapter 1 says. It says, Israel did not drive out the Canaanites as God had commanded them. God, remember in Joshua, He says, I give you this land, go kill them all. They didn't, though. A number of reasons why they didn't. But the whole chapter 1, if we read it, it would just be each tribe going over and over again. And the tribe of Judah did not drive out the Canaanites and da-da-da and give reasons, different things. But that's the gist of chapter 1. It says, Israel did not drive out the Canaanites as God had commanded them. He said, kill them all. He gave them 400 years to repent, and they didn't. They were an evil people, and God is jealous for you. He is jealous for you. We're studying that on this Tuesday, by the way. What does that mean? He is jealous for you. Do you know one of the songs we sang today is, and I was coming up to have you share about it, is one where the Baltimore's brothers came back to the Lord over one of these songs. You should introduce that, my dear. What's going on with that? And then He is jealous for me is Antonia brought it up to me and how it ministered to her, and it's been ministering to us since the book of Ruth hasn't stopped, and the book of Ruth hasn't stopped. And, you know, God wants to minister to you. God wants to speak to you through the worship, through the Word, through the fellowship. God speaks in many different ways, but you've got to open your heart and your mind to receive from Him. A little side diversion there. Israel did not drive out all the Canaanites as God had commanded. That's chapter 1, basically. And some of them, this is because they're afraid, because it was the Iron Age then, and they started making iron chariots. And so they were fearful and afraid, just like they were when God told them to go take the land the first time, and they saw giants. And they were fearful. And so they made compromise. And I'd ask you today, what fears are causing you to compromise? And trust me, we're going to get to what those are. But you need to say, what fears do I have that are causing me to say no to the Word of God? We're going to get to them. If you can't meditate, I'll tell you. Find what those are. What are you not in obedience to the Word of God of? And so they didn't drive out all the Canaanites because they had iron chariots and they were afraid because they looked at the outward circumstance. They looked at them and they looked big and spite of their God. But God is big and big on your behalf, you see. But the other thing they did, well, they didn't kill them all. And so they put them under tribute. Basically, they taxed them. They must have been English, huh? They didn't kill them all as God commanded. They said, well, let's tax them. We'll make some money on this. Hey, they can be our slaves. You see, they compromised. Their fear is called compromise. Some of them they didn't want to kill, as you work to read the text, is because they were really hard to kill. They took a long time to finally get where they subdued them. So they just said, man, let's not obey completely. This is hard. Let's put them under tribute. We've got them subdued. Let's just tax them. The tax man. Oh, the tax man. And you know what? They compromised. Their fears called them to compromise. And that's what we do. We don't want to go there. Well, we make justifications. Well, I'm shy. And God must allow shy people not to obey the word of God. I don't speak well. Well, so God must surely allow me to disobey him. He understands, after all. That's called justification of sin. See, we're looking at repeated patterns of people who stopped looking to the word of God and did what was right in their own eyes, just like Britain has, started over 100 years ago. We're going to get to those, and I'm going to lay out history for you. I'm going to lay out history of our degradation, our decline, and our fall in my simple, easy way that you might understand where we are and how we got there. Well, each man did what was right in his own eyes, basically. Just like in the book of Judges. Since the beginning of time, the word of God has been questioned or disobeyed under no avail. From the Garden of Eden till now, it doesn't produce fruit. In the garden, they doubted the word of God when Satan said, did God really say? And he just twisted it just a little bit, just like most of the false teachers do that you watch on the God Channel. Just like most of the teachers, the false teachers you watch on the God Channel. Let me say it again. Just like most of the false teachers you watch on the God Channel. They're false teachers. Oh, it's only 1%. And yeah, they preach well because they use the same words as a right-on preacher. And you need to know who they are. You need to not listen to them. Don't let it in. Defiles you. That little 1% or 0.1%, whatever it is, you go, well, hey, I like them. They're false teachers, most of them on these God channels and these other TV shows. Not all of them. And I'm not going to poo-poo the lot, but I am going to say a lot of you are watching this rubbish and it's defiling you. I said it, there you go. You're going to hate me after this Bible study. That's okay. In Noah's day, they didn't look to the word of God. They rejected the judgment of God that Noah preached. In the Tower of Babel, they failed to obey, so God had to spread them out. There's a little history for you of disobedience to the word of God. After Egypt's deliverance, they looked at the giants instead of obeyed the word of God, so they went for 40 years around in the circles. All of them died in the desert. And only the children got to go in. And when they went into the promised land, they failed to kill all of them. That's where we're at today, the book of Judges. Then God gave them kings. This is the history. God gave them kings, and they didn't all do right, and they didn't obey fully, and some were good, but most were bad. They brought the prophets to tell them God's word, and we killed them. So God came himself, and we killed him. That's right, you too. Your sin killed him too. It wasn't the Jews. It was you too. Your sin put him on the cross. Remember that. Then he sent out the apostles. We killed them. And then the church today, we have false prophets and false teachers. And in the late 1700s came about a thing called higher criticism. So you all will know, because if you don't understand this, you're not going to. I realize, my wife's been telling me for a while, it took me a while to realize. We're hard-headed, thick-brained, hard of hearing. And I also have seen it in you that I say a lot of things and I don't quantify them or explain them. So we're doing that on Tuesday and Thursday night so that you understand when I say these things what I mean, or else you're not tracking with me. Because God wants to speak to you, and I apparently need to bring it down into a simpler level for some, yet keep the meat on the bone. In the late 1800s, higher criticism became popular. And this popularity reigns today in seminaries and churches. And you want to get me mad? You want to get me mad, talk about liberal theology, and that's what it produced today, called liberal theology. See, we believe in the inspired word of God here, that is God's book, and God said not a tittle or a dot, not a crossing of the T or a dotting of the I is going to perish because it's eternal. liberal theology. He said, oh, no, man, we're smarter than God. This isn't, the miracles aren't true. They're just stories to help you understand truths. Oh, the story about Adam and Eve, that's just a story to help you understand. No, God is the creator of heaven and earth. And if he's not, you know what the ramification is? Your children are going to fall away because God, the Bible isn't true. And how can they believe anything you've ever told them? And they're going to rebel. And that's why 80% of the children are not following God that could raise in the church, because you've been lying to them, they said, at school, because you didn't deprogram when they came home from school. I'm going to calm down. That's one of my new promises. I'm going to try and calm down. Maybe I'll speak in monotone. You'll better be able to hear me. I'm going to try and calm down. There's some things that make me mad. And a good thing I'm weak, because I'd throw this pulpit across the room to show you how mad it makes me. Fortunately, I'm weak. Higher criticism, liberal theology. Most seminaries today teach liberal theology. They explain away the miracles, the virgin birth, creation. You see what liberal theology does? Liberal theology gets rid of miracles, the virgin birth, the judgment of God. God as creator determines the word by popular culture rather than the almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God. Man determines the rules. How futile. You think that's not popular today? It's in most churches. And that's why they're dead. They've departed from the Word of God. And you see from the Word of God, when you depart from the Word of God, you are going to experience the removing of the hand and blessing of God. Most seminaries today teach liberal theology. Just like Satan in the garden, he questioned God's Word. That's what they did in higher criticism. And that's where Darwin came out of, in evolution. You know there's no proof for Darwin evolution? None. Yet they'll say the scientific. No science has proved it all wrong and fraud. And only to prove the Bible, that's the story of 2,000 years of constant attack on the Bible. The story is man comes against it, and the Bible is proven wrong every time in time through science, historical evidence, archaeology, or etc. Did you know that? And if you don't know that and you have children, then you better learn why the Bible is God's Word. Because if you don't, they're going to depart from it. Because you need to have reasons why and show them there is good evidence that you can prove in a court of law that this is the Word of God. Written outside of time and space. Good evidence. We have a CD on it in the back. And if you do not know how to know the Word of God is the Word of God, and you have children, you are not going to be explaining this to them. And I have passion for your children. Understand, that's what this is. I don't want to lose one of them. Now we have this new thing that's happened. You see, scientists came out and said, well, evolution, that's how it really happened. And we even have theist evolution where it said God created evolution. Well, I don't see that in the Bible. We have this new thing that came on in the last 20 years. Darwin and evolution came over about 140 years or something, 50 years ago. Still prominent today, even though it's disproved, because they haven't found a better theory to hang on to. The better theory is aliens. Acceptance of sex outside of marriage has become paramount since the 60s. And see, that's the progressive. In the 60s, what happened? I'll explain that in a minute. Homosexuality accepted in church and society, so the Bible must be wrong. Hey, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, all these are sin before God. You don't separate anybody. I'm not homophobic. I love homosexuals. God loves homosexuals too, but it's a sin before God. How can two people who love each other be a sin? Because God said it was, and that settles it. There's no other needs to try and justify or quantify the statement. God loves the homosexual and looks to redeem him, just like he redeemed a no-good-for-nothing sexual drug addict like myself. And my finger's on me. I don't look at the homosexual. The problem is the church has been pointing that, because that's what, at them, making them look like hypocrites, and they're called homophobic. Because that's the sin I don't do. I'll point at that one. You know what? You need to point at the sins pointing at you. That's what I mean when I say walk with your sin ever before you. That's what I mean. You see, I look at my sin. Don't look at sins you don't do. Oh, the kids got drunk last week. Oh, I don't get drunk. How dare them get drunk? And you start judging that sin. What about your sin? Oh, you're even an older Christian. What about pride, self-righteousness? What about gossip? These are sins, aren't they? Slander. Look at your own sin, you see. Well, see, we have these things happening in church today, like liberal theology, acceptance of morals that aren't God. Evolution for 100 plus years. Sexual permissive lifestyles for 50 plus years. In the last 20, homosexuality has been indoctrinating the people. It's the brilliance of Satan to question the word of God, causing us to doubt, rendering obedience not an issue. Thus sin abounds. And the Bible says where lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's what we have today, an end time prophecy. So we looked at failure to obey completely. They didn't drive out all of the Canaanites, and they put them under tribute instead of obedience totally. Chapter 2, slide 3. Let's talk about influence. We're going to hang here a little bit today, quite a bit. In verse 1 of chapter 2, see, they're influenced by the Canaanites culturally, particularly idolatry and intermarriage. That's what happened to the Canaanites. They accepted the idols and they started participating in idolatry, which was sexual stuff. Started intermarrying with them, which was forbidden, all forbidden by God. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. God says, I'm going to quit driving them out before you. The angel of the Lord came and said, okay, you're not going to obey me. I'll take away the power. That's what he said, and that's what happens to us. And a lot of times we don't even know it, I think. In the West, God removes his power. We go along clappingly, da, 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 or whatever, and we're happy in our sin. We're justifying everything we do, so we're okay with ourselves. We don't look at our lives in light of the mirror of the Word of God. We look at the Word of God as a window to look at everybody else's sin, and that's what happens to most churches. They become critical and judgmental. You see, we're all sinners, all in need of a Savior, all in need of sanctification. Let's have a little more grace for each other. You need to look at your own sin and it won't be a question anymore. You look at other people's sin, it will become a question. You become critical and judgmental. You know what? It's easy to do when you're looking at other people's sin. God can remove the smile from your life. He says, okay, you're going to stop doing what I told you to? I'll remove the power. That's what he does. You'll fall. You'll be weak in ability to drive them out. Disobedience equals weakness and defeat. Simple. Bible overwhelmingly proves that. An overwhelming learn from Israel. That's what they did. That's what we do. But we need to realize we're defeat. We are weak. We become weaker. And God removes his power and his smile when we want to walk in sin. He said there'll be a thorn in your side. Galatians says whatever you sow, you reap. See, there's a consequence to sin. But we think, oh God, and you know, maybe I preach grace too much. Maybe I preach the love of God too much, but the love of God should compel us to live for him who died for us, you see. But we see we need to live as unto him. But we're affected by the culture that surrounds us, and we need to drive out the influences of the world and be influenced by the Word of God. What's our culture today? What's the culture like? We probably don't evaluate it. Any of you young people were raised in it, so this is all you know. And I can take the what I know of my being born in the 60s and take it from there to here and what I know about church history and bring it to here. But you're raised when the internet was up. Nothing new to you. Was there ever not an internet? You're probably wondering. And what is there good and bad of that? There's great things on the internet. There's also it's changed culture and brought some bad things. What's the moral climate today? We're in moral decline. We've created the atom bomb and can travel at the speed of sound and travel at the speed of sound, is that right? Speed of light? Yes, we can travel at the speed of light. But yeah, speed of sound. Thank you. Speed of sound. Thank you. But yet we've mastered the atomic bomb, but yet we're moral infants because we departed from the Word of God and we're living according to each man does what is right in his own eyes. And we're going to see the ramification of a nation. And you already see it. People come here to visit to see the old stuff, the ruins. They go to Rome to see the ruins. Departing from God, that's where we end up in decay and ruin. Because we stop living according to his word, we fashion a God in our own image, you see? Thing called relevant truth. Spiritual climate. What's a spiritual climate? We've departed from the word of God and we're reaping the whirlwind. And that's why every wind of doctrine can walk into a church with no detection. Some churches are so experientially minded, then not word focused, that when false doctrine comes in, they're unable to discern it. So, all right, it's something new. Hey, God is with us. It's got something new. And you know, that's the selling technique of today's marketing. Something new. Satan knows all about marketing. Something new. Not the old stuff. Something new. Trendy and new. Is that what you're looking for? Word of God right here will set you free. Well, apathy, indifference rules the day. Apostasy is where we're at today. You know what apostasy is? It's the departing from truth. That's where we're at today. Relevant truth is the predominant thing amongst people today, 30 and under approximately. That means it's, oh, that's good for you, but that's relevant and true for you, but not true for me. There's no truth. It's truth is what you make it. That means Hitler's okay with killing Jews and black people because that's what Hitler feared. They don't like to say that's a bad example according to them, but you see it doesn't play out as truth. Well, that's true for you, but not true for me. There is truth, and it's the Word of God, because God gave it to us, and He gave it to us in perfect order that we can understand it and live according to it by His power, all His greatness. Well, the relevant truth generation is where we live. We also have this thing, you better learn this, you especially you teachers. They just sent in, I think they just rephrased what you have to do in schools, new tolerance and old tolerance. They went back to you can live according to old tolerance. The new mantra today is tolerance. You've got to be tolerant of everybody's beliefs. Well, listen to this so you understand. See, the new tolerance says it's not okay to come against somebody else's beliefs. You have to condone and accept what others believe. That's new tolerance. Is that true? It doesn't play out in truth. I can give you some examples, but it would be an 18 Bible study. Old tolerance says if you hold to somebody else has a different belief than you and you have a different belief, that's what you want to believe. I believe differently. And you can separate part amicably. Today they're saying you have to believe, accept, or accept and condone what others believe. That's called new tolerance. They tried to pull it on you in the schools, and they just recently sent out to every school in the place that what the law actually says. I think I can't remember the name of the company that does that, but so that you teachers don't feel like you have to accept and condone things contrary to your beliefs as a Christian. It's going to come around, though, eventually. So believe me, they'll come back in a different package because Satan is wise and looking to destroy you. So old tolerance, new tolerance. Understand the two definitions, or else when somebody tries to put new tolerance on you, you then can say, no, that's not tolerance. Tolerance is you can have your view and I can have mine and we can part amicably. Right? That's tolerance. Okay, well, you believe smoking dope's good for your children? Okay, well, I don't agree, but there you go. And you got a lot of evidence to support it, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with you all day, you know? New tolerance says you have to accept and condone others' beliefs. No, you don't. Not yet, anyway, according to the law. See, the last virtue of a wicked society is tolerance. You understand that? The last virtue of a wicked society is tolerance. It happened to Rome. It's happening here. It's happening in the West. The Bible tells us that we need the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you, listen hard, when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which also effectively works in you who believe." The Word of God has power. That's one of our beliefs. A pillar. That's why we preach the Word of God, preach the gospel. Because it has power to what? Effectively work in you who believe. It has the power to transform and the power to save. And as Sheila prayed earlier, the power to make it simple wise. But see, that's what they removed from the church. How smart was Satan? Oh, well, that's miracles. That's just, they're just stories to help you understand God. No, the miracles, he's a God of miracles, and he's not done yet. You see, they get rid of miracles, they get rid of a God creator. I probably need to explain to you all the ramifications of that belief in society, but I can't divert there today. There comes a time in 1 Timothy 4:3, it says there will come a time when people won't endure sound doctrine, relevant truth, liberal theology, according to their own desires. because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, like evolution. One man said, I can't remember who said it, evolution would be considered the greatest hoax of the 20th century. A scientist said that. Apostasy, the departing from truth. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. We're in the age of apostasy right now. The church is departed from the truth. 100 years ago, it believed evolution because a scientist said it. Well, if a scientist said it, we've got to reinterpret the Bible. And the scientist has been proven wrong by science. You don't have to worry about science disproving the Bible because the Bible is correct. It's God's word. And you need to believe it and place your hope in it. See, you can't take your children to Moab and live amongst the Canaanites and them not be affected. See, culture affects us, and that's largely what I'm trying to bring out as relevance for us today, because they didn't drive out the Canaanites. They didn't drive out the evil amongst them. And so they were affected by their culture. They started becoming idol worshiping, intermarrying with unbeliever pagan worshipers, and they started to have practice a sexual morality that was involved in Baal worship and Asherah worship and different things like that. What's the answer? The Bible gives us the answer. In the same context, it says there's coming a time when men will not endure sound doctrine and each according to their own desires. What's the answer? The Word of God. The verses right before it, it says preach the Word, because the Word has power. The Word has power. It has the power to transform you here today. If you'll sit under it, be convicted by it, let the conviction happen to you. Let God speak to you. I don't like what you said. I may make a lot of enemies today, but I got to preach the truth. I've been doing it for 25 years, and I can't do anything else. The culture is affecting all of us. I'm going to give you an example that hit me good, and it's going to hit all of you probably, or most of you. You can't take your children to Moab and have them live amongst Canaanites and them not be affected. Remember how Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech took their two sons and they married Moabite hot babes? You see, even though the story turned out good, because God turns the bad into good, that doesn't mean you should disobey. God is good, and He turns the bad into good. He can turn our sinful ways into testimonies and all kinds of things, but that doesn't mean you sin so you can have a testimony. Doesn't mean you do, oh, well, God will fix it. I'm going to go out, dun, 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 dun. I'm going to go live according to my ways. Each man did what was right in his own eyes, and God will cover me. Beware, there's a consequence to sin. Beware. So the answer, 2 Timothy 4:2, is preach the word. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In the end times, you see, what's happening is the great apostasy is demon-charged. Who has been attacking the Word of God since the Word of God was spoken? Satan. And he uses man also. Man who thinks they're smarter than God. Scientists who think they're smarter than God. Doctors who think they're smarter than God. No, this can't be true. It's contrary to what I believe. Wrong. If it's contrary to what's in the Word of God, you're wrong. Let me tell you about the changing culture so you'll understand. Where are we at? How did we get here? I only can tell you since I've been alive and what I know from church history and that I think is important to bring out. In the 60s came a new era of free sex and drugs, pleasure seekers, hedonism. That's 50 years ago. Is that right? 50 years ago. So 50 years ago, sex and drugs became the accepted thing in culture. It wasn't accepted then, but it becomes more accepted. And then the family went into decline during the same times. Families were separated. There was a lack of commitment. More divorces increased. Why? Because we departed from the Word of God. Families were separated. People raised in fatherless homes. That's not the ideal. Some people are born in fatherless homes all the time, but that is, God can't intervene. But it's affecting society. And if you don't think so, just look at the statistics. What happened in this time, women started working more, and the news brought a thing out called latchkey children. Children who came home with no parents to look after them, so they were raised by the television, raised by Fifth Avenue, raised to be materialistic consumers, raised by the MTV. MTV came out in my generation, raised by MTV, where we go and watch in glorification of sin and different things, and they make it look good. And so people go, sin can have a price. Look how much fun they're having. Look at him. Look at that gangster guy. He does drugs. He's living wild sexual life. Look at his life. If you're like him, you'll get what he's got. Dr. Spock in the 60s also, a doctor, said not to spank your children. It was emotionally damaging. But the Bible says to spare the rod and you'll spoil your child. You may not agree, but the Bible says that. I don't know how you interpret it any other way. Yes, there are many ways to discipline a child, but it's contrary to the Word of God to say not to discipline your child with spanking. It works, but it's hard. That's why we liked it when he said it. It's easy to believe because it's hard to do. If you're not a parent, you wouldn't understand. You probably maybe think your parents like spanking you if you've ever been spanked. The problem is many of you have never been spanked, and therefore when the church or God disciplines you, you run because you're not used to discipline. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own man. Each man does what is right in his own eyes. And so we have a whole generation, when you try and correct them, they'll say, I'll get you done. Anybody ever heard that? I'll turn you in. I'll make a false accusation. You'll go to jail, and I'll walk free. That's what they do today because they know their rights because that's what we're teaching them in school. We don't teach them responsibilities, though, unfortunately. I almost want to write a letter to the government. Can you teach them some responsibility beside their rights? We're raising a generation in every school, every primary school in this area to know their rights. There's not one responsibility up there. Not one. You know, if you've got rights, you've got responsibilities as a citizen. And yes, children should know their rights and be protected, but they should know more importantly, their responsibility. We've got it backwards. The Bible said this would happen. Isaiah said in the end times, they'll call good evil and evil good. Well, you know, we need to get mad at this culture. I'll try not to. So many people feel it's cruel to spank a child. And yeah, I can see where all their feelings get involved. It's hard to spank your child. It's a hard thing to learn how to do and how to do right. And yes, there's been a lot of people do it wrong. And yes, there's some bad things that are attributed to it. But Dr. Spock in the 60s came out with this also that changed culture. And so today we have a group of young people. When the teachers, you many teachers here today, maybe you're not feeling me, but maybe you'll feel me now. In the classroom, they don't understand obedience because they don't have to. Who are you? Nobody tells me what to do. My parents don't tell me what to do. Why should you tell me what to do? And there's a loss of respect of parents and all authority because there's no discipline. There's no consequence to the way they act. They'll threaten you with, I'll get you done because they know their rights. Well, so we have this new generation that has no fear of sin, no fear of parents. You know, I was meditating this morning and something came to me, a real visual. Let me tell you the value of spanking. You know, I wasn't spanked enough as a child, just to let you know. I wasn't spanked enough. But let me tell you the ramification, the positive benefit of when I was. I can remember to this day my grandmother say, boy, go cut yourself a switch. And now I know, just listen and try and absorb this if you're so anti this that you can't hear me. She'd say, boy, go cut yourself a switch. And I was like, I start crying, oh, please, please. You know what I begged her to do? Please don't make me cut my own switch. You go cut it. That's what I didn't beg her not to spank me. I don't want to cut my own switch. I don't want to choose my own weapon. I remember this to my day. She said, because that's the way she spanked was with a switch. Cut it off a tree and did that. I remember that to this day. Is it negatively affected me? Not at all. But I remember that day. Oh, please, please don't make me cut my own switch. I remember to this day in junior high. And some of you are just like, okay, I don't agree with Clint today. But let me tell you a real story from real life that I remember today as I meditated on this and go, really, should I mention this? You know, I'm probably going to make a lot of enemies. But let me tell you what in junior high they used to do. They used to spank us in school. They don't do that anymore. That's why you have a lot of problems today. And a lot of you depart from the Word of God, you're going to have problems. And so there was this, the PE coaches were prideful in their big, long paddles. And they would drill holes into them, and they're very intimidating. Let me tell you the power of that paddle. They'd hang it up for all to see. I can still remember it. And we would talk about it when we were by ourselves. Man, it's got holes in it. Yeah, it hurt, man. Yeah, I put padding in when I go. Yeah, how do you do it? You take some nappies and you put them in, and that helps a little bit. And we were talking about it. See, we brought fear into the children because they were afraid to do something wrong because they knew there was a consequence, my friends. That's the issue today. There's a consequence that hurts. And we don't know it, so we think we can sin and each man do what is right in his own eyes and there's no consequence. That's what I beg you to understand. I remember that paddle today. I got one once, and man, I didn't get one twice. The PE coaches, They knew what they're doing. They had to know what they're doing because I can still remember. They got like a walk with the paddle. All right, boys. And they make everybody would know, and everybody knew, and everybody feared. They feared the consequences. There's no fear of consequences. And when you don't fear consequences, you sin abounds. And when sin abounds, the love of many will grow cold. So feel that if you don't feel any of the other things. I remember this day, us talking about it. And on the wall, he had toes drilled in it. And it brought fear into my heart. And I got one. I never wanted to get another. And I didn't. Did it work? It worked. And it did. I don't remember the pain. I remember us talking about it. But I don't remember like, oh, wow, that was horrible. And I'm so emotionally damaged because of it. I was spanked as a child. I needed more spankings. That's what I needed. I needed more love and more attention is what I needed. And yes, spanking your children is a time when you talk to them. Let me just tell you how you do this in case you decide to obey the word of God and not spare the rod and spoil the child. That doesn't mean you do it. You never do it in anger. You always talk to them. What happens when you do timeout? Let me give you an example of timeout. And it may work for you, and it may work for some mild-mannered kids. There are kids who it will not work on, though. Because you get a strong-willed child, a high-spirited child, timeout ain't going to work. Sorry. Here's how timeout works. All right, Johnny, go over there and sit. And I'm not mocking it. I would use it, too. I use it, too. But I don't use it. I use different things. Go over there, Johnny, and sit for 15 minutes until that's your punishment. It's timeout. So they sit there crying and screaming in rebellion. And if your kid goes to timeout and they scream and yell, it's rebellion, and they need a spanking. Sorry if you don't agree. That's rebellion. You put a kid in timeout and they scream and yell the whole time, what they're saying is, I defy you in timeout. It's wrong. If you got a real sweet-spirited kid, timeout, I mean, all I got to do is tell Hope, hey, I'm going to spank you. She starts crying. Caleb just says, how many? Very different. How many? Yes.
Don't kiss him right when they get spanked, though.
Yes, they do, and it's over quickly.
But, you know, like, I understand your point, but there is obviously some element. When, say, for example, when you spank someone, you have to make sure, because it could become the same problem as just putting them in timeout. Because if you, like...
It hasn't for me.
Well, if you get, like, spanked, like, constantly...
Yeah.
And sometimes you can get to that point where you just don't care about the spanking anymore either because you're not learning about the, you know, your problem. You're just caring about the spanking more than the problem.
Well, no, that's where when you spank them, you talk to them before what you did. They understand what they did. And then afterward, you love them, you hug them, and you cuddle them. Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's the word of God. How do you interpret it differently? I don't know. Now, yes, there are many people who do it wrong. That's the problem. Many people who abuse children, that is wrong. Not condoning that at all, but the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't know how you can interpret that any differently. Today's, in 1960, Dr. Spock... I just said that. I said I use multiple... You're using exception, not the rule. I use multiple ways of disciplining children. I use timeout, too. Matter of fact, sometimes I say go in timeout before you get a spanking because I've got to calm down. You never discipline in anger, like I said, or you'll mess up. And the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't know how you could get anything else out of that. But if you do, and you do differently, you got a mild child, you'll be all right. But if you have a strong-willed child, you're going to have some problems, and they need to be corrected and know there's a consequence is the point. A consequence that hurts, too. Teenagers, it's better to take away their videos or their iPod or their time with their friends. That's a stronger one with teenagers by far. That hurts. So... I'm not saying this is the only way. I'm saying this is not a part of the way. I believe it's the Word of God, and you do whatever you want. And I'm not going to judge you, but here it is. It's in the text here. And the things where we need to look at culture and how it's happened. How did I get to this? How is it in the text? This is what I don't do well. Because in 1960, Dr. Spock said you shouldn't spank your children and emotionally damage them. I'm saying I've never done emotionally damaged, and it brought fear into me. And yes, there are people who are emotionally damaged because it was done wrong. And et cetera. But it's a debatable issue, but Dr. Spock's the one who brought it about, not the Word of God. Until Dr. Spock, it was a common thing done everywhere. So I'm telling you how we progressed in society, how we came to this point. Where are we at? So now what does the government do? The government now makes a little more laws about how to handle your children. Because the children are out of control, they don't know what to do. The children, look at the fruit of this society, they're the most unhappy children in the world. British youth. statistically true. They're departed from God, etc. A nation departed from God. And so we have this, what's happened? Well, the government just makes more laws to try and curb all this. We left the Word of God is the problem. So what else is in our culture? Media. Changes, subtle changes in culture. Media's great, isn't it? Media's, you know, you got your phones. It's all good. I'm not saying media's all bad, but I'm saying media has changed culture. Here's some of the things it's done. It's taken TV. And I was raised TV. I watched way too much TV when I was a kid. MTV generation, I watched MTV. It influences us. TV, we watch these glamorization of sin, adultery, sex outside of marriage, divorce, gangster lifestyles that are glorified, all desensitize us to sin. There's a method behind this madness, you see. Who's the God of this age? Who's the God of this world? It's Satan, by the way. And that's why when Jesus comes back, he brings and takes the title deed back, if you don't understand that. See, are we not all guilty before God? Are we not all affected by culture in some way? Here's a way which Ray Comfort brought to me and greatly affected me. It should get most of you. Here, listen. How would you feel if someone out was outside of your window, either watching you and your wife have sex or watching you dress? And he asked all these people how they would feel, right? Think about it. Track with me. He asked them that, and they go, well, I would call the police. It's wrong. It's wrong, they were saying. Okay? He says, now what about you? What if you did that? What if you were outside somebody's window watching them dress, undress, or have sex? Well, that'd be wrong, and I wouldn't do it, they said, across the board. Nobody said, oh, I'd do that. That's all right. Nobody said it was okay. And then he said this question. What do you do when you watch a sex scene on TV or in a film? You're looking in somebody's window at them dressing or having sex. You see that? Does that convict you? It did me. You know, I was given a wonderful gift that I love so much to record TV programs, and I started, oh, I record that. I had so many, I couldn't even watch them. And then one day, my wife said, let's watch a film together. I said, okay, yeah, look, we got plenty of them recorded. So she started searching them all, and they're all 18s. A lot of them were 18s. I didn't know that when I recorded them. It just, wow, that's exciting. That's the kind of stuff I like. I don't want to see sex, by the way. I'd have no desire to see it. But it's in a lot of films, I think 15 and up, isn't it? So are we watching through the window, watching someone else have sex or undress when we do that? And Ray Comfort posed that question. Should we as Christians be doing that? Should you single people be exposing yourself to watching two people have sex that only stimulates these urges that can cause you to sin? You see, one of the gods of this age is entertainment. One of the gods of the age is the entertainment that we have this need to be entertained, constantly entertained. You understand that? And a lot of you, because you've been raised like me in the TV generation, it's a natural part of our life. But we need to evaluate that. See, there's a show called Friends. Many of you may know. It's a little bit older than some of you young people, but it was a Friends. It was a great show. I watched it. But if you think about what it shows, it says shows sexual lifestyles of pretty people having good times with no consequences. If you explain Friends that way, it's a little different if you want your teenagers to watch it. There was never no sexual disease. There was never no pregnancy. There was never no problems with all. They went around having sex with all their friends. That's basically if you want to explain it from a way of looking at it. There was a show called Seinfeld, a show I love, very funny show, very funny man. But they would do this thing because it was indoctrination into culture to help us to realize the Word of God was wrong so that your children would go, well, the Word of God's wrong because culture says so. Seinfeld, every time they mentioned homosexuality, they would say, not that there's anything wrong with it, to indoctrinate us that the Word of God was wrong, that God didn't make that that way. And that's the whole society for the last 20 years have been indoctrinated to that end. And we're not homophobic. We love the homosexual. We all need to be redeemed. We are adulterous fornicators ourselves. It's not a pointing at them. We need to look at ourselves. The church is in apathy and indifference. We need to look at ourselves. Trust me. We have this ease of access to, a lot of you were raised since internet's been here. About 20 years, internet's been around fairly strongly. But now, through ease of access, we have internet porn. You know who the main users of internet porn are? Teenagers. That's not good, is it? And we're going to have to go and explain this, I guess. What is the ramp? Oh, what's the big deal, someone might say. Well, I'll just give you a little bit. people are seeing airbrushed people. And when they get married or look at other women, they just don't seem appealing because they're just not these airbrushed, perfect bodies, Moabite hot babes. And so they don't look at a regular woman normally. And it's going to affect society. And we need to explain these further so you understand there is a cost to sin. And then it makes women feel that they can't compete. So they either give up or try something else to find satisfaction. Because you can't compete with airbrushed, hot Moabite women that's running through your husband's mind if he's looking at porn, which is so easily accessed through internet. Internet has a great thing that was created, but it also has these things Satan uses it for. Marketing media is a tact that selling according to the voice, Christian voice, is instead of trying to sell products now, according to an article I read, instead of trying to sell products as marketing used to do, it's now selling lifestyles. Producing a new and trendy ideology where it's a throwaway mentality, they claim. Trying to promote the god of materialism. Also, we have all this electronic gear, good stuff, but it also can also be the constant distractions that are hindering relationships, all kinds of interaction, good things like books, creativity, imagination, etc., because we're gadget and media and electronically stimulated so much. It's affecting the attention spans of children, research says. That's why we have a higher instance of ADD. Hinders personal contact and relationships, promoted connectivity and relationships in a shallow, more frivolous way. Yet we say we have friends, 300 friends, or 500 friends, or 1,000 friends. You all don't have the number of friends on your hand. You can't count your friends on one hand. And learn that. Learn that. You might have friends that will stick with you, thick and thin. You have on your hand. You don't have 300 friends, 200 friends, or 500 friends. You got maybe one hand if you're lucky. You might go, oh, no, I got 12 friends. Well, you know, you'll see in 20 years are they still around. That's the test of a friend. You know, I can call any of my friends, and it's like no time has passed. I haven't seen them for 4 years. I'll go and see them in September, and it'll be like no time has passed. That's a friend. A friend is somebody I can call and say, I need a place to stay, and I have a place to stay. A friend is somebody that say, I don't have any money, I need some food, and I got it. A friend is somebody who sticks closer than a brother, isn't it? Someone who's with you through thick and thin, not somebody who's a fair weather friend, a Facebook friend, somebody who hangs out with you. That's a real friend. A lot of you don't realize a lot of people you know today aren't your friends and you won't know them in 20 years. Associates. Associates, fair weather friends. Well, all this media, all this stuff affecting us, the culture is. So we looked at failure to obey completely. We're influenced by the media culture. We're influenced by current popular culture. We're being desensitized and programmed through media. All of us are. Your children are. And there's so many more ways I could bring this out. The last one is decay in Judges 2:11. It says, the children of Israel, this is another phrase you're going to see all throughout the book of Judges. Judges is a repeated pattern. Remember that's the series? Here's it. It just says this over and over again. That's why I'm not going to read everything. We're doing an overview of the book anyway. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They repeated this power, this problem. But you know what? He is jealous for you. You understand that song we're singing? It's so good. Antonia brought out to me, and I didn't like the song because it's still hard to sing. Then you brought it out, and you're so excited about it. I started listening to it, and we're singing it almost every week in every meeting now. And it's a thread the Lord's been speaking through every message. He is jealous for you. Why doesn't he want you serving idols and serving the culture? Because it doesn't pay off, and he wants you to experience the abundant life because he is jealous for you. He wants you to experience the fullness of God and not try and partake of the world. And Christ and live in two worlds and not experience the greatness of your God because he is jealous for you. It's also because in Exodus 20 he says you make no idols before you because he is jealous for you. He said not to create a God in your own image because he is jealous for you. That's why, because he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to suck on sewer pipes. He wants to give you fresh water. He wants to give you living water. You see, the world is saying, no, come over here. Fifth Avenue, the marketing companies, oh, come on. This is the lifestyle you can have. Budweiser. No, this is the lifestyle you can have. Carlsberg. Cold Duck. It's life. And everybody's having fun drinking Cold Duck. Everybody's having fun and playing volleyball, driving nice fly cars with nice fly Moabite women, and it really looks cool if you just drink. What is Ogus? What did I say it was? I don't know. You see, that's what the culture's doing to us. We're making us long for the things of the world because it's selling us a lifestyle. If you drink Budweiser, you'll have a convertible car, hot chicks at the beach, and this is what you get. You drink Budweiser, dripping and looking nice on a hot beach. Well, there you go. Decay happens. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And, you know, God is jealous for you. He wants the best for you. He loves you, and he wants to be first in your life because you're going to be married to him for eternity if you're a Christian. But see, often we forget God. We're too busy for God. We have idols of entertainment, materialism, comfort, self-life, self-love. The God of self distracts from the worship of God himself and his idolatry. Anything that gets in the way of you and God is idolatry. It can be your husband, your wife, your career. My children are the closest thing I have to the constant idols in my life that could be idols in my life. And I have to guard against it. And in closing, what happens in all throughout the book of Judges is the same thing. It's repeated patterns. They sin. They depart from God. And then they cry out to God, oh, our life is miserable. Help us, God, our ways. Each man does what is right and says, oh, our ways suck, God. We want you again. And so then God sends them a judge. Verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, the cycle began again, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. And then verse 20, then the anger of the Lord was against Israel again. See, we understand the folly of man from the Bible. We understand the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the desire for God that he has for you, because he is jealous for you. Come on up, worship team. He is jealous for you. He loves you so much, you see. But are we going to respond to him? Are you caught up on the spanking thing so much you're no longer listening to me? Look, you do whatever you want, how you want to discipline your children. I'm telling you, this is the way that happened in culture. Culture, as Dr. Spock, changed the way we thought as Christians. A psychologist. You don't agree with that? I don't care. Don't come up and talk to me. Take your children the way you did. I hope they turn out well. You can do everything right, by the way, as a parent, and they still turn out wrong. And you can do everything wrong, and the kids still turn out right. That's a quote from my pastor who used to be the dean at a Christian school. He's seen parents who did everything wrong, the kids turned out great. He's seen parents who did everything right, and they still turned out bad. So all you can do is your best and commit the rest, isn't it? So please don't come out. If you do, be free. I'm telling you, this is the way the culture has went. If you don't agree that one little bit about Dr. Spock, receive the rest of where we're at in culture. I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about everybody because I know it's a controversial topic. Because today we're even told today by many people that if you spank your children, it's illegal. Did you know? Have you been? How many have been told that? It's not. So culture, are we affected by culture? Let's start singing and worship God, you know. All I want to do is bring the judges to the relevance of you. Learn from Israel, as the Bible says. And let's learn how culture is affecting us, right? That's what the question is. How's it affecting your children? How's it affecting you? And if you can't find that, I encourage you to meditate and think longer. Because if you can't find the way culture is affecting you, you should be so godly, so amazing that people should be flocking here just to see you.